Hello, alongside the dogmatic Ryan Sir, I'm Don Helbig, and welcome to the Pick Six, the podcast by the Attractions Group, where Ryan and I discuss the latest and greatest news around the attractions industry.
And the news comes at us like a fire hose some days. But before we get started, just a reminder that you can follow us on all your favorite podcast apps, Apple, Google, Spotify, you know the drill. Make sure that you watch the video version of the podcast on YouTube by searching for the Attractions Group podcast in the YouTube search bar. And follow us on X/Twitter at attractions_GRP. Don, kick us off.
Well, social media was a buzz earlier this week when Dorney Park, while everyone was sleeping on the East Coast, released the first official POV of Iron Menace, a 160-foot B&M dive coaster set to debut this spring. Ryan, watching the POV, now I thought this was going to be a fantastic ride, had all elements in place to be one of the best dive coasters out there, but totally convinced after watching the POV. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this ride. I think it's going to be really, really good. But on that same token, I'm a big subscriber into the idea that POVs never tell the full story, because I always feel like without being able to feel the sensation and only have the sights, they're always going to under-deliver as to what the ride actually is. So I think this is going to be a fantastic ride with some fantastic elements. It's not very lengthy, we're coming to find out, but it's relentless. So I would pick relentless over lengthy any day of the week, wouldn't you?
Well, I would too. Yeah, I always preferred a ride that had a lot going on with it. I often reference, you know, Raven at Holiday World, a wooden coaster, you know, not the longest, but action packed and one of the best wooden coasters out there. And I think this is going to be the same thing when it comes to dive coasters.
I completely agree. So let's move on to Coney Island, Cincinnati as a second story. This is a sad one. This is going to be tough. But Coney Island, Cincinnati recently announced that they were going to close as of December 31st, 2023. And the land has been purchased by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra and will become a new music venue. Lots of efforts put in to save the park. Unfortunately, though, the efforts are in vain because currently the park is being, or the water park at least, is being razed. You know, people made some valiant efforts. It meant a lot to a lot of people, but here we are. And you know, Sunlight Pool, after 90 years of entertaining people as being the world's biggest recirculating pool at 401 by 200 feet, is unfortunately meeting its demise.
You know, listen, I have a lot of childhood memories there. Spent a lot of time at Coney Island and Sunlight Pool. And like, you know, a lot of Cincinnatians, you know, I'm going to miss it. But what it comes down to is, you know, you can respect history, but you can't revere it just because it's been there for 90 years. You can't keep it there and keep it open. You know, we often say you have to vote with your feet. And in recent years, there were a lot of days when you would go to Sunlight Pool and hardly anyone was there. I went the last couple of years and there might have been, you know, 18, 20, 22 people, you know, there. And you can't stay in business, you know, with that kind of attendance. You know, you need more people there. So I understood it, you know, disappointed, sad, but understand, you know, that it's time had passed.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I made a couple of visits to it. It'd be one thing if it was just a beloved pool, but 90 years of memories, your parents, your grandparents, and their parents, all probably, if you're from the area, enjoyed Sunlight Pool. So I think that's a big bummer.
It is. You know. It is.
But Don, right. What's story number three? We want some happy news this time. Where are we heading?
Well, next? We do have happy news. Cedar Point, they're offering a sneak peek of the reimagined Top Thrill 2 roller coaster with new video footage showcasing ongoing ride testing at the Sandusky Amusement Park in preparation for the 2024 season. They're going to be opening in May. Engineers from Zan Perla, the ride's manufacturer, they've been meticulously programming the Stratacoaster's automated ride sequence, refining the motor launch system, conducting safety tests for riders, and thoroughly assessing the performance of the sleek metallic silver train. Those trains, I mean, they look fantastic.
I know. A lot of people like geek out over like how cars look and stuff. I couldn't care less. I like roller coaster trains.
Likewise here.
Yeah. So I guess I'm responsible for bringing us back to a bummer, but next up we are heading towards Marineland in kind of the Niagara Falls area. But reports from the inside say that employees were told that they're laid off effective immediately because Marineland is ceasing operations. So very, very sad for that. But that park has always been at the center of controversy. And I think that could be kind of problematic for him in terms of drawing people. But the reviews I've always gotten from the people that I know that have gone there have always been that it's weird. It's very, very big, but there isn't a lot to do. So people say it's like you walk through like this big like wooded area to get from one ride to the next, which I think would be awesome. But
I mean, that's all I've ever, you know, known about this is just all the controversy that you read about it all the time. When you are, you know, marine life, a zoo, whatever, you know, there's always targets on your back by these different groups. But this right. one seemed to be amplified and just had, you know, just so much going against it throughout its history.
Yeah, I agree. All right, back to happy news. This is a roller coaster of emotions, isn't it, Don? Because now we're talking about Epic Universe, one of my favorite subjects. But
Universal Orlando, they're teasing more information that will be coming out about Epic Universe. That's going to be coming out today as this episode drops. Universal's third hard park in Orlando. It's set to open in early 2025 and will feature popular intellectual properties like Super Nintendo World, How to Train Your Dragon, and Harry Potter. Ryan, you and I have talked about this pretty much since the introduction of the Attractions Group podcast. You know, super excited about it because a lot of times, you know, you just see one new section of a park, you know, being built, but this is an entire major theme park, and it's just exciting to see develop.
I would say not only is it a new section, I mean, like a new ride is exciting, and this is a whole park. I mean, we're in a very unique phase in existence where we're watching a big theme park be built, and the information is trickling out about it, and I couldn't be more excited. This is not the last time we're going to talk about this park on this podcast, and probably a lot more to talk about once it opens too. The rumor is that they're going to be releasing information on How to Train Your Dragon. That's going to be, I believe that is that in the Harry Potter universe? I'm completely ignorant. No, not in the park. I'm not saying in the park. I'm saying like, it's like kind of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think How to Train Your Dragon might be affiliated with Harry Potter sometime, but I also have no idea what I'm talking about. So correct me if I'm
wrong. I just know, Ryan, it's going to be exciting. And I really like the way the team there has released information, you know, just this, the real strategic in what they're letting out there and the timing of it and everything. And it's all coming together beautifully.
Yeah, completely agree. So let's go back to some more positive news because Walt Disney Imagineering may actually be welcoming back a legend, and that's Joe Rohde. So Joe Rohde is a legendary Imagineer, most notably known for designing Animal Kingdom of all things. But Rohde has confirmed his return to Disney Corporation, and he posted that he's leading a series of master classes and work sessions for current Imagineers, and it remains unknown if he's going to be involved in any projects or if it's going to be more like a contracted thing or if he's going back full time or anything like that. We just don't know. But he had left the organization several years ago, and it's really, really good to see him back. It's, they could really use him, as any company could.
Yeah, it's you know, great news for Disney Parks. Like you talked about, a legend there. And it's great to see some positive news, you know, coming out of Disney. A lot of negativity, and you know, anytime you read the different industry, you know, newsletters and other publications, other stories online, you know, there's a lot of negativity there. So it's great to see some positive news coming out of Disney.
I agree.
So Ryan, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that voting is underway for the USA Today 10 Best Reader's Choice polls. Dollywood, Holiday World, they're among the parks nominated in several categories. There's a lot of other parks that have been nominated as well. A lot of these categories have up to 20 different parks that are nominated. Great opportunity for guests to, you know, give their feedback, go online, you know, vote early, vote often for your favorite parks. And it's a fun competition.
It is, and it's very marketable for the park. So if you want to support your local park, or your favorite park, go out and vote for them. You know, best ride, best food, stuff like that. These are all things that, you know, if they win, if they lose, like, they don't lose anything. But if they win, they could be like, come to our park. We've got the best food, you know? So that's really cool. They can do that. But yeah, USA Today, just Google them up for best theme park stuff, and you're going to find it. So that's awesome. Okay. Let's move on to the listener question. So the listener question is from Greg with three G's total. G-R-E-G-G. Heck yeah. Reminds me of H.H. Greg. He says, I've enjoyed the Attractions Group and Tower Topics podcast. Well, thank you. Just curious, Don, was there ever consideration giving to doing a Kings Island podcast when you worked there?
Yes. For that. So it looked like it might be something that we would do, but you know, there was going to be a lot of different, you know, cooks in the kitchen with that. You know, what would, you know, would be all just promotional type stuff, talking about Gold Pass and those, you know, different, the messaging, you know, was it going to be a messaging podcast? So it just never really was something that, that was probably going to work. So it just never moved forward. It has to be conversational. It has to be, you know, you have to know your stuff, you know, whoever you're doing it with and everything too, that you have to just be able to, you know, carry on conversations and not have to, you know, be researched on everything. And you certainly can't have it be, you know, promotional filled and talking about passes or, you know, ticket deals and those kind of things, because, you know, that's not what people tune in. So I think that there were a lot of reasons why it would not have worked.
Do you think that a lot of people that would listen to a Kings Island podcast would need to be sold a season pass or a ticket? Or do you think they listen to the podcast because they're Kings Island fans?
They listen to it because they want to hear the stories.
Yeah. And honestly, it would, from the outside looking in, you would think that people would approach us about, especially like Tower Topics, like Kings Island should sponsor you. It's like, why? Everybody that listens to Tower Topics knows everything about Kings Island, you know? Yeah, what needs to happen is like Holiday World needs to sponsor us. That would be,
but yeah, I mean, it could be something that would be scripted and that, you know, and I said, it just was in the very early stages about it, but it seemed like there was going to be a lot of scripting and, you know, a lot of cooks in the kitchen wanting to make sure that the messaging, you know, was out there, and that wasn't going to be something that was going to, you know, be of interest to the listeners. Cause like you said, they already know, you know, where to get a pass, where to get tickets. They'd want to hear from the executive chef and they'd want to hear from the general manager, just different guests and things like that. So, it just never really got past the discussions, you know, stage. There was an intro, you know, for it. And then there were just a lot of critiquing right off the bat that I got, you know, with that. And, you know, hey, I listen to podcasts every day on the way to work and it should be this, it should be that. And you started getting that kind of feedback right off the bat. And you're like, I can't even get past the intro. This isn't going to work. So just never move forward with it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because it could be good, but do you think that they could now with Tower Topics being out there, or would it be too like crowded with having both?
I mean, there's always space. Mm-hmm. You know, they could do it, but again, it comes, you know, what are you going to do with it? You know, are you going to be able to carry on conversations? Are you going to know, you know, the park? Are you going to script it out? So, I mean, they could do it, you know, and there's room, you know, to do something like that. So I wouldn't say that, you know, because of us, they can't do it or wouldn't do it. It's just, you just got to make sure that it's fun, it's entertaining, it's engaging for your audience.
Yeah. It's one thing to be knowledgeable of history of the park and knowledgeable of the programs and stuff. It's another thing to speak from an honest point of passion and to really live and breathe this stuff and being able to be natural about it. So you and I could probably read into like Chevy Corvettes and do a podcast on it, but no one would believe it because like,
no, it's not genuine. It's not authentic. You didn't live it. Right. You know, so that's why the guys that, you know, were athletes that have podcast, you know, it works for them because they played the game. You know, fans of the sport want to listen to them, where if it's just two sportscasters doing it, not as much interest in it. I mean, it can work, but just not as much interest there because it's not genuine, it's not authentic, they didn't play the game.
I always wondered about that with sportscasting, because if it's like, and often it's like, you know, and you know, there's Boomer and all those other, you know, NFL commentators, which I mean, I think that their insight is valuable. It's probably not perfect, you know, because they know as much as they know, but you know, if like two guys that have just never played the sport. Like, yeah, how do they know it well enough to do commentary on it? You know, like, oh, he needs to you lead with his shoulder and stuff. It's like someone told you that, or you're making it up because you don't know. You know,
no, I mean, you can understand the analytics of it and talk about it that way in sports, you know, and, you know, just being the play-by-play guy probably never played the game, you know, for the most part in all sports, but they can describe the action, you know, and that, but someone, that's why they have the analysts there who did play the game that can provide those insights and add that credibility for the audience. But, you know, you talked about, you know, where people have come up to both of us and said, Kings Island should sponsor your podcast, which makes absolutely no sense. You know, like you mentioned, to do that, there's no reason to, but at the same time, it would make a lot of sense, you know, for Kings Island to approach us and say, hey, we've got all these new menu items. Can we have our executive chef on? Hey, we've got all this, you know, new merchandise coming in. Can we have somebody from our merchandise department, you know, come on? So it'd make all the sense in the world to do things like that, or entertainment. You know, can we talk about behind the scenes of you know, what went on in putting together our new country show, the nighttime show? Just, you know, have somebody from entertainment talk about that. So it would make all the reason in the world that they would want to do that. But, you know, to date, they haven't, you know, reached out to us to say, hey, can we get someone on? Now, we've had the Attractions Group podcast, our other one, where parks throughout the industry have approached us saying, can we have somebody come on? You know, so they see the value in that. And right now, I don't know that our local park here, you know, doesn't seem like they see the value in us having people from the park on, but that's okay. Because, you know, we've both been well versed in Kings Island. We know it well. And, you know, we're able to do it without having those guests.
Yeah. And it's kind of a blessing in disguise too. That's why Tower Topics hasn't had a lot of guests on it. Cause I think it's very different from AGP, where AGP is typically better.
It's guest driven. Yeah. It's a guest driven.
Tower Topics is kind of like, I feel like it should be like us as, you know, and just, you know, I don't want to say industry people and not just like fans, but two people that know the park rather well discussing it. And then we bring in people, you know, we brought in Brad from KI Central and Chris from the Season Pass group.
And we had stuff. Bill Mafford on, you know, who did marketing for the park for years. And
yeah,
we've had Dennis Spiegel, you know, that can talk about, you know, the Kings Island history. We had those kind of people. But, you know, if there was a time that, you know, the park approached us and said, hey, can our executive chef come on? You know, we've got these new menu items that's going to be, you know, at whatever restaurant in the park. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think there'd be those opportunities to do that. And it would make all the sense in the world, and it would benefit the park to do that. But it's not necessary that they do that.
Yeah. And it's weird because I think that going into the rabbit hole is going to be, we're totally like straying from this question, by the way, we do that a lot, but going into the rabbit hole of, we created Tower Topics like late last summer. And then, coming out of it, like at the beginning of this season, it's a completely different game. I mean, I never thought it would grow the way that it does and reach the people it does. And I get random people like not at the park coming up to me asking me if I'm the guy from Tower Topics, you know.
But we've both been around the park, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I've been going there since the beginning of that. So I think for anyone that's interested in Kings Island, you know, there's not anything about it that you and I don't know about in terms of being able to talk about it. I don't think there's anything that, you know, that we're going to, it's going to happen that you haven't experienced. You know, you can bring it up from a guest perspective, you know, because you've been around it for a long, you know, long time.
Yeah.
You know, I was a guest for a very long time. So we bring that guest perspective to the show. And I think that's what would make this different than a Kings Island podcast as well. Because if they did it from the park level, yeah, they're going to want it to be about messaging. And they're not talking about it from a guest perspective because that's not who they are. You know, they're talking about it as Kings Island. We're talking about it as Kings Island fans, as Kings Island guests, for Kings Island fans, for Kings Island guests. And I think that's why this show works.
I like how we turned that honest listener question into a plug for our other podcast, but that's true marketing right there. It really is, you know, but yeah, towertopics.com. If you guys have any interest in Kings Island, we do 3 episodes a week. It's really fun. They're much shorter than, you know, AGP. We aim for 15 minutes. all three of our episodes that we recorded tonight were about a half hour, but yeah, not for not good reason. Let's put it that way. But yeah, very good question. Thanks for submitting, Greg. Hey, I'm Ryan Sir along with Don Helbig. And this is the Pick Six. We'll see you next week.